Good morning. If you weren't awake, Saints Triumphant Sunday. And on this Saints Triumphant Sunday, we talk about a book. Do you like books? Books, whether the physical book in our hand or electronic version, such as a Kindle, well, they are for educational purposes as well as for entertainment and also provide therapy. Now, whether you like to read books or not, there is one book everyone really ought to become familiar with, and for more than entertainment value. It is the Bible, the Book of Books. Through this book, we find out answers to life. And that's what we're going to explore more today, the answers to life that are important for us to get to know. It's a book that provides not only those answers, it's one that we cannot become too familiar with or read too often. It's also a book that remains the focus of our worship, as through the spoken word and the sung word, we glorify God and we grow in His grace. So to that end, I invite your attention to page 3 as we continue with our invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow Your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
Please stand.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind."
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God and Savior, You have set the final day and hour when we shall be delivered from this world of sin and death. Keep us ever watchful for the coming of Your Son, that we may sit with Him and all Your holy ones at the marriage feast in heaven.
Please be seated.
There it is now.
On this Saints Triumphant Sunday, a reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. Do you know where your name is written? By God's grace, through the gift of faith, you can know where. And so these words before us are meant to give us confidence and to keep us courageous. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
There is no need to be ignorant about certain matters, including matters related to the end of time. A word of encouragement, a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4.
Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Will the end, should the end of time come as a surprise to us? Yes and no, our Lord tells us. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we focus our attention on these words from Daniel. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is because of him, what he has done for us and gives to us through his means of grace, that we now can be called holy ones and triumphant. Take heart. People have questions about life. Maybe you are those people. Perhaps you've had conversations recently with family or friends who have questions about life, and there are answers. Now, maybe not all the answers we human beings would like to hear or even want to hear. But that doesn't change the fact that there are answers. Now, where can these answers be found? They can be found, for sure, in one book. It is the book of books, the Bible. People want to know how life came about. The Bible has answers. People want to know why bad things happen. The Bible has answers. People want to know if there's a better way to go through this life than what they hear from human philosophers whose how-to methods keep changing. Well, the Bible has answers. People want to know that if life has purpose, if there's a solution to hatred and wars and unrest which takes place in society and in the world and even within us. And there are answers. The Bible has answers. Indeed, God has provided a book for everyone, for all people in this world to read and digest and to live. And so during this end time portion of the church year, what another prime example for us to pay attention to the answers that God provides to us through that book of books, the Bible. Because God reminds us that He does have a book for us so that we can hear about this life and so that we can also hear how to have life. God has provided a book for us to hear about what is happening in this world, why it is. And what is happening in this world, it's not all pretty, is it? The unrest and the decay and the disrespect and the revolting against God and against one another, against authority. But in this book that God has provided and tells us what it has to say about this life, He also gives us hope, something to hold on to. And what He points us to hold on to, is yet to come. The ultimate fulfillment of it. But it doesn't mean He's left us with nothing to hold on to in the meantime. And we need this to hold on to because we are living in a time of distress. Both Daniel and Jesus in the Gospel of Mark point to a time of distress. Daniel definitely was living in a time of distress. His homeland had been run over by the nation of Babylon. That southern portion of the children of Israel failed to heed God's warning and encouragement time and time again, which then led to the consequence the Lord said would come if they did not repent. They would lose their homeland for a time. People from the southern tribe would be carted off back to Babylon. It was a time of distress. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace because they would not bow to the king but held true to the King of Kings. A time of distress. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den because he too would not bow to the king but remain faithful to the King of Kings. A time of distress. Throughout history, there has been a time of distress. Every generation might be led to say, Lord, is this the time you're talking about? The end of the world is near? And we are living in the end times ever since the Lord Jesus ascended back into heaven, so it could come at any time. But the Lord indicates that there's going to be an even greater time of distress. Wow. One that the whole world is definitely going to feel. One could argue that the whole world is feeling a time of great distress right now. Hear these words by the Apostle Paul written to Timothy from 2 Timothy 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then ends with this word of encouragement, have nothing to do with such people. Sounds like today, doesn't it? You know, surprising fact on the news, carjackings in Chicago are almost 10 times more than they are in Sacramento and L.A. Praise the Lord, you live in Sacramento. Tongue in cheek a little bit. Praise the Lord that we do live here so that we can glorify God's name and share His name with others, so that they too can come to know what the book of that gives life has to say about this life. That these are all signs that this world is temporary, that something is wrong and it needs to be addressed. And the way humankind has addressed it over time does not work. And the way that does work, what does society do with it? It puts it out of our schools, it takes it out of our society, tries to close us down. Thankfully, God is who He is and has promised and keeps true to that promise that His word will endure until the end. So really nothing new under the sun, is there? When it comes to distress. And something that also, though, ought to make us pause is that the time of distress that the Lord references, it's going to get worse. But then it's going to get better. The Lord reminds us that we do reap what we sow as a society, as human beings, even as a church. Corruption doesn't provide a safe passage. Rather, it provides chaos. Lack of discipline doesn't provide a way of safety and productivity. It provides unrest and more chaos. Watering down the scriptures doesn't provide more answers and relief and peace to people, rather just the opposite, as such as an in-your-face to God. So again, on one hand, we ought not be surprised at what is happening all around us, in society, in our families, in the church, because we reap what we sow. A warning and an encouragement. Another very open reminder that something is not right with this world and that it is temporary is what happens on a daily basis to people. People die. Some know it's coming in a way because of a medical diagnosis. Others don't know it's coming. The bus that doesn't stop in the intersection and hits the car, or a heart attack during a workout. Time of distress, in some respects, a cause of fear in people if they don't know better. But there's really no excuse, is there? Because God has given us a book. A book that we are to listen to when it comes to what it says about this life. That it provides the answers we are looking for about sin and why there is heartache and why there is death. But it also provides solutions, answers. So the end, in some respects, should not surprise us. Even though we don't know the hour of that ending when Jesus is going to come, we know it's going to come. And we know God is serious about this. And he's also serious about the fact that there will be a separation taking place at that time. Those who are with Jesus and those who are not. People didn't take the flood serious, and what happened? People don't take the end of time serious. What's going to happen? When you get a moment during today or throughout the week, read Matthew 24 and 25. Maybe you just read them recently in your readings, but read them again. And what Jesus has to say about the signs of the end of the age and of what's going to happen on that day and what needs to happen leading up to that day. Further words to help us watch and prepare. Not only then is it important for us to have this book that God has given to us so we can hear what is going on about this life, it's also good to be in this book so that we can hear how God gives life, how we can have life in His name and have it to the full. Because God is the author of life. He gives it to us freely by grace through the gift of faith. He gives us this life through His Word, the book of books, the Bible. He has given it to us this way because He does want all people to come to a knowledge of the truth about this life and about the way to have life. Because He really does want all people to be saved. And He knows that people are rejecting Him and running around and getting all caught up in this life. And so all the more He continues. Just like He did in the Old Testament by sending prophet after prophet, so today He continues to send people and means to get His Word out there so that people will take His Word and salvation seriously. And at the heart of that salvation is the life and work of Jesus. He is the center of our hope. He is why we can be called the saints triumphant now already. He is the reason why we don't need to be afraid or concerned about when the end will come. Because we know, rooted in Christ, we're secure. We're secure because we believe in what Jesus has done for us. He paid the penalty for each and every one of our sins. For all the times we have revolted against authority and against God, those sins have been paid for. For all the times that we have drifted away from God, but thankfully have been pulled back, those times of drifting, they have been paid for. For all the times that we misuse God's name, we take it in vain, those sins too have been paid for. Not to be brought up against us again. What a beautiful thing it is that Jesus has done for us by way of His perfect life and His innocent death. Through such we have life. Life in His name, life for all eternity. And so God gives us His book not only to reveal how we can have life and how Jesus is at the heart of it. He gives us His book so that we can hold on to this life that He has given to us. In addition to the book itself, He's given us His means of grace of baptism and the Lord's Supper to bring us into His family and to keep us in His family. How important it is then that we continue to celebrate and elevate the means of grace, the gospel and the word itself together with the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Because, dear friends, right, there's a war going on for your mind and your heart. God knows this. And so in His infinite wisdom, He made sure that we had a book to help us fight this war. Let's not make it easy on our enemies. We don't fight with weapons of mass destruction. We fight with something stronger. The Word itself. And for us as adults, it's important to stay connected, to recognize who the enemies are, because there is a war going on for us, against us, but for our children. We have a responsibility, whether they're our children or not, to help them understand the Book of Books and to know the war that is against them. Because there is a movement to take our children away from us, to grab their minds and their hearts. God gives us a wake-up call here. And He doesn't leave us to fight the battle on our own. He's given us a book. A book that warns us of what is taking place and what is yet to take place. And how we can endure what is going on currently and how we can endure all the way to the end. So let us live this life that God has given to us. Let us stay connected to His Word so that we can fight the good fight of faith. Let us be wise in the face of battle, the heat of battle against us. When people are trying to rattle our cage and get us to fall from grace, so to speak, that we resist and turn the other cheek and glorify God instead. God, help us be the salt and the light that He has called us to be. And we can do that as we stay connected to His Word. As we read that book that He has given to us about this life and how to have life. We are to be on constant vigilance. And as we are on vigilance, alert, then also we're to do as Peter told us. Always be ready to give the reason for the hope and the confidence that you have. And one of the ways you can do that with somebody is by telling them, hey, I got a book for you. Give them a copy. Give them a portion of it to read. Because the whole thing might be overwhelming to some. Follow it up with a conversation. What'd you think about that section I gave you to read? What does it say about life? What's going on currently? How does it apply? And then tell them how that same book can give them life. Life with confidence now and life forever in heaven. That's what the Lord was reminding Daniel of. You got this, Daniel. Keep in mind the big picture. You've gone through distress. You're living in distress. But there's a greater time of distress yet to come. But God's people will be secure. He, God, will see to that. And He does that through His book. So, dear friends, remain firm. Remain standing firm in Christ, and you will be secure. Continue to worship Him and glorify Him and pray to Him and serve Him and witness His name. These really are words of encouragement, which we need to hear from the book that God has given to us about life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our living Savior. Amen. We join in our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's found for us on page 8.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the prayer of the church.
Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord, we do reap what we sow. Help us sow generously as you are generous with us. Through you, we have become rich in ways the world on its own will not know or find. Help us use the thank offerings we bring to support the spread of the gospel, so more and more can know what true wealth is and reap a harvest of righteousness. Be with David Scaltetti as he has entered the hospital to undergo further tests. May the tests provide answers and lead to desired results. Reassure him of your abiding presence. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You know there are going to be concerts in heaven? Exactly. Led by a priestly band. Get your tickets now. Seriously, thankfully, we do have the Book of Books to reassure us that our name, by God's grace, is written in His Book of Life. May we encourage others to read that book so that they too can have life in God's name. Bible studies are taking place still, thankfully. We're looking at the life of Luther and how that relates to the end time portion of the church here, as well as throughout our life, words that we can still, life lessons that we can learn from the words of Luther based on Holy Scripture. Then the teens will be meeting in the teen room. We're looking at 1 Peter currently. And then Sunday school begins at 9:15 in the chapel. As always, you're welcome to start with them as they begin their Sunday school in song. If you haven't filled out a Connect card, please do so. You can find them by the bulletins, and you can return them in the basket on the table with the lamp on it there in the entryway. Guests, if you want to share more information with us, on the back side of that, there's room for that. Just a moment here. Our veterans, we'd ask that you would please stand. And thank you for your service. We don't want to take what you do lightly and what you have done, what you represent. There's an opportunity to support our chaplaincy to the military. There on the shelf by the information board, there's an ammo can. You can, if you're able to do so, a free will offering. Our chaplain and the Lutheran Military Support Group would appreciate that support. Also, for our veterans, I believe there's a little gift for you put together by our kindergarten and junior K class. So please, I'm looking for Alyssa. Do you see Alyssa? Well, we'll make sure, hopefully, that you get it one way or another. 20s, 30s are gathering today, 5:30 in the gym, the multipurpose center. We'll start off with a brief devotion. We'll look at the further reflections questions for our worship service today, and then open gym style, volleyball and other things. Good opportunity for fun and fellowship. A special grief share session is scheduled for next Sunday, the 21st, as we approach the holiday season. So if you know of somebody who is grieving a loss of a loved one, whether it be recent or been a while, direct them to this opportunity. It's a one-time session on the 21st. You can see more info on it in the weekly news. Our Thanksgiving worship service is scheduled for the week of Thanksgiving on that Wednesday evening at 6:30 here in the church. If you cannot make Wednesday evening, Hope in Penryn, our daughter church, is having their Thanksgiving service at 10 a.m. Midweek Advent services then will begin the week after Thanksgiving. 6:30 is the worship service time for the 1st, 8th, and 15th. We also have brought back the Advent suppers. They'll begin at 5:30. We have people signed up to provide the meals for that, for those suppers. Thank you to them. We are extending a call for Junior K. So that's coming up on the 28th after the late service. Keep that in mind. We have not heard a decision from the teacher we called to serve for our kindergarten position. And regarding my call to Michigan, I have returned it. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you. And then just see the weekly news for other updates that are taking place here at St. Mark's in our church and school. Before we leave this house of worship, let's get connected with the work we do as a church body, the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. 100 new home missions in 10 years, starting in 2023. That was the plan proposed and approved at our Synod Convention this past summer. It's an ambitious goal, but for the nearly 175-year history of our church body, starting home mission churches has always been at the core of what we do. Now, in the 21st century, home mission planting has developed into a finely tuned process, with support and guidance at every step.
Recent seminary graduate pastor Tim Walsh and his wife Ruth are in training to restart a mission church in Long Island, New York. But they aren't alone. Today, mission counselor Reverend Mark Burkholz is briefing them on the many ways our synod provides resources and connections for each home mission pastor.
My role becomes explaining to the young pastor who all these sources of help are and how each one of them will be an asset to him.
It just makes me appreciate how ready, how willing Synod is to carry out this work. You know, that we're not just looking to sustain, we're not just looking to kind of plateau or stay where we are, but we understand that this gospel message is so important.
In addition to this initial briefing, an experienced home mission pastor is assigned as a coach to provide one-on-one guidance for 2 full years. Plus, there is a representative from their district mission board assigned to help shepherd the home mission.
It's exciting to know that there's a lot that we can do and that we get to do it as a family. We go out and meet new people, the wonderful people that are over in New York.
Today, lay involvement is key to any home mission start. Lay members often begin working with their district mission board before the home missionary even arrives. The pastor is supported by boots on the ground to help bring the good news of Jesus to the community.
Cultivating others that have never heard the gospel, haven't even maybe considered it, I think there's definitely a place to do some fishing.
By the time we leave today, you'll feel comfortable and confident in going door to door.
To help prepare teams of lay people involved in the home mission effort, our synod partners with a program called praise, and proclaim. To provide personal evangelism training.
The pastor just cannot come in and do it all by himself or alone. You know, he needs that core group of people to not only help him with the work, but also be a source of encouragement. I believe that we are entering into an era where there's a dynamic change in evangelism. I think that for churches today, it's not just going out and inviting people to come to church, but I think it's becoming even more important for us to bring the church to the community.
There's just a few key words that we really want to keep in mind, and you can be creative with that and go beyond that, but that's good. We need that.
Many home missions today start when lay people at an established congregation see an opportunity for gospel outreach in a neighboring community. This ensures a core group is available to help the mission pastor with the effort. Good news in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. This example started as the daughter congregation of a larger church 15 miles away.
To not only have really the official support of the whole church body behind you, but to have a specific congregation whose heart is very much into this new church getting started, to be there as one more source of encouragement and really one more source of support.
Now, 7 years in, this mission congregation is ready to take the next step, making plans to move from this rented facility to its own church building. It's a long journey, but our synod provides guidance, support, and expertise at every step.
While the goal of opening 100 missions in 10 years from 2023 to 2033 is challenging, with our church body providing various resources and actively supporting missionaries, we can work together to reach this goal. More importantly, we'll be working together to tell more people about the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we pray that God would bless this effort to His glory. Learn more about Wells Home Missions at wells.net/home missions.